can't afford them. I scrub and scrub, nothing. Right under the covers, boom, I'm good at it. We're talking about Jamal Adams, not Ed Reed. What is this, the secret plans of King Tut's tomb? Fumigate the premises, you gotta be confined.
Buccaneers fans, we are now 1 month from training camp. We hope on the podcast that features the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the king of Newport Richie, the baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, Uncle Ira himself, Mr. Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee D. Kemper is here, and the man of the hour is Mr. Ira Kaufman. Ira, how are you today?
I'm doing well, and I'm going to give you the words of the day after you tell a little tale of your own there, Stephen.
Tale of my... Oh, okay, I know what you're talking about. You're talking about how everybody needs to get to Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium, Tampa's premier and first family of Ford, General Manager Sean Sullivan. Forget about all these 0% financing offers right now, Ira. Forget about the $1,000 extra off. Sean Sullivan will help everyone personally in any possible way he can. That means a discount, Ira Kaufman discount. That means just great guidance. That means treating you like family because it is a family-owned dealership. All three of us are Bill Curry Ford customers. That's what it's all about, right, Ira?
No question about it. I think I'm going in there this week for two reasons. One, we're over the 3,000-mile mark, could use an oil change, and might as well get it at the best place. So they have a tremendous service department. Number two, I am dying to see this little eatery they have built with the Big Storm Brewery. The reviews have been fantastic. I'm a coffee man. I want to see what kind of coffee they got. I know what kind of food they got. It's fantastic. The deals are unbelievable. So I want to see Sean. I want to talk about the 2027 draft. He knows some kids that are in high school that might develop. But he is really a draft maven. I want to take his temperature, Steve. I want to see how he's doing with the with the coronavirus and worried about whether there's going to be a season or not, Steve.
Sean's healthy. Everybody's healthy at Bill Curry Ford. But if you want to be very healthy in your wallet, if you're vehicle shopping, truck, car, get to BillCurryFord.com right now. Start shopping. Then email Sean. Use the live chat. Call him up. BillCurryFord.com. Sage, it's summertime. We've passed the summer solstice. What the hell's going on in your world before we get into a large variety of Buccaneers happenings and topics?
Well, I'm going to keep the tradition up, Lee, and we always have a phrase of the day, and today we're going with steam heat. Steam heat. And I don't mean the blanket of humidity that's enveloping the Bay Area over the last 4 or 5 days. It's rough out there, no question. No, I'm talking about Stanley Steamer coming to Casa Kaufman to basically fumigate the premises and remove all remnants of Cosmo's presence. By that, I mean pee stains on the carpet. I mean, you should have seen this carpet. Our bedroom, the front room. You never catch him in the act. I mean, he's like a stealth pisser. You never catch this dog. You know, within 3 seconds, he runs back into the kitchen, you go back out, and there's pee all over the place. You can't get it out. You know, you try household goods. I scrub and scrub, nothing. So Stanley Steamer, you know, 200 and something bucks later. My wife made him do the tile, too. It's looking fantastic. You can't see anything. And now we got gates up all over the house, and I'm going to be very vigilant. No Cosmo out of his little area. He's got to stay in the back, in the backyard, and in his little area. Steve, it's just like if I had you at the house, you got to be confined.
You're tough, Ira. Lee, what kind of dog owner is Ira here? He raises the dog, now he's got him locked up.
Are you suggesting that it's still not house trained?
Well, he makes mistakes, you know, just like Jason Light at the draft table. I mean, he makes mistakes, Lee. The days go by, you know, the pee piles up, and it's tough to get out. Besides, you know, whether he's doing number one or number two, if it's on the carpet, it's a problem. So, Steve, that's my answer to you. Yeah, I want a dog that can go all over the house. You know, our previous Boston Terrier used to sleep with us 10 years in a row, right under the covers, boom, as soon as he got into bed, right under the covers, got up 7:30, 8 o'clock, looked at me and said, how are the Bucks going to do this year, Ira? And then he went back to sleep.
Well, Ira, speaking of number two, I'm sure Cosmo would never trade up in the second round for a kicker, so we'll leave it at that. Ira, though, you know what? It reminds me, now that you're bringing this up about your carpets and all that, you know, it just...
He keeps doing this. We could get some mold in the house, Stephen.
You absolutely could, Ira. Water damage, you call Florida's Elite Restoration. Go to their website, floridaselite restoration.com. Now, I don't think dog urine qualifies, Ira, but the bottom line is, you're right, is that if you have a leak, not take a leak, but if you have a leak, or if you have some sort of disaster, mold grows in a hurry, plumbers call them first. And, you know, don't call the plumbers, call them first. They will come out. Josh over at Florida's Elite Restoration and his team, they're much better able to assess everything and set up your insurance company to be able to get a claim in without a hassle. And, of course, if you're a plumber yourself, like Lou in Port Richey, or a property management company, they are a fantastic company to work with. Florida's Elite Restoration, local, growing, lots of experience and honest. And Sage, you know how it goes. You know that crappy garbage disposal you got there because you're blowing all your money on carpet cleaning. Next thing you know, it's leaking and you got mold.
Wow, Steve, I didn't know that Port Richey Lou was a plumber. That's good to know in case I have any issues in that area. Outstanding.
Ira, how could you not know that? That's like part of Buck's history. The guy's an icon. Lee, how could he not know that?
I don't know, man. Yeah, I mean, Port Richey Lou, he always puts up pictures of himself working up on Twitter, so...
Steve, next thing you're going to tell me is how Javier's an importer-exporter. You know, what's next?
Florida's Elite Restoration, they've got a mold remediation license. They're insured. They're not just some people who say they do mold. They are experts. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Ira, I'm hitting you with a hard question right away, and Lee's going to answer it after. Do you trade, if they'll take the deal, do you trade Antoine Winfield right now for Jamal Adams, restructure some contracts to make sure Adams works this year, and then he gets paid big bucks in 2021 and beyond? Do you do that deal?
No, I do not. Here's why. One, this guy could be a troublemaker. He could be. Bucks don't have the locker room to accommodate that, no matter what Bruce Arians and Jason Light assure us about the Buck veteran locker room. Two, his salary. Maybe a few years ago, the Bucks could afford him comfortably. Excellent player. I know he wants to play with Bowles. Lee, what did they accomplish together? They accomplished zilch, Bowles and Adams. I'm not blaming it all on Adams, but he was part of a defense that, you know, the team kept going 5-11 after Bowles had a very good first season. The rest was a disaster. Three bad years. I want to see what this Winfield kid can do. I'm not saying I expect him to be better than Adams, but money's a big factor for the Bucks right now. Adams just doesn't fit. You got to take care of people like Godwin. There's others along the way. You got to re-up Levante David. There's too many headaches in that regard, Lee.
In Steve's scenario, if it was strictly Adams for Winfield, and I'm very high on Winfield, I think this guy's a baller, but just like I always say about Keyshawn Vaughn, he's never worn a Bucs practice jersey yet. It's speculation what he can do in the NFL. Adams, you know what he can do. He's still fairly young. He wants to play for Bowles. Guy that wants to play for a coach, I don't think he's going to be a troublemaker. Absolutely, I trade Winfield for Adams. And as I wrote over the weekend, I think there's after this year, there's going to be some salary shed. And I'm not exactly 100% sure Levante David comes back.
You said the cap's going to go down, Lee. So how does that factor in with keeping Adams long term?
Well, first off, we don't know how much cap's going to go down. That's number one. Number two, I think there's going to be a lot of salary shed. I don't think Sue's back. I'm not 100% O.J. Howard's back. That's $6 million right there. They bring him back at $6 million. And I would not be shocked if this is Levante David's last year. Reason why I say that is, and this stuck out like a sore thumb, and I really didn't harp on it, because I still thought Levante David was at the top of his game, and I still think he's at the top of his game. But when Bruce Arians was keeping him out of practices in the Glazer shed because his knees couldn't handle practicing on the turf, that to me was like, woo, Levante David's getting old. That was the first time it's ever crossed my mind. Wow, Levante David's getting old. And Bill Walsh always says, it's better to trade a guy too early than too late. This is his last year on his contract. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not saying I want it to happen. I want Levante David to be an all-pro player for the Bucks for years, man. But I'm just looking at, I'm being realistic. I'm being a realist. I look at his salary. I look at his age. It might be Lavonnie David's last year. It might be Sue's last year. It could be JPP's last year. He's not a young guy anymore. And of course, I'm not fully certain O.J. Howard comes back. So if those four things happen, that's a lot of relief on the salary cap. Please don't misunderstand. I'm a big believer in Winfield. I'm not a big hope guy, but with him, I think he's going to be a baller.
Well, Lee, after boiling down your nine-minute diatribe, I would say it comes down to you're willing to trade Winfield and Lavonte David for Adams, and I'm not.
You know what?
Steve, I don't think
what
it's a stretch.
What are you talking about, Adams, Ira? What are you talking about?
Steve, Adams wants to be the highest-paid safety in football. That's what he wants.
Well,
and I'm not going
sleep
there
with Rachel Watson. You think that's going to happen? Come on.
Otherwise, he's going to be unhappy. He's going to be unhappy.
Ira.
I'm not giving that kind of money to a safety.
I'm not advocating that he's worth being the highest paid safety in the game, but the Buccaneers are allegedly all in, right? And if you're all in and you can get a true all-pro safety who knows the defense inside and out, could just walk in and do it. I talked to Adams personally at the Pro Bowl, two Pro Bowls ago, right? You know, right after they signed Bowles and Arians, and he's not just a fan of Bowles. They were super tight. He's also the only guy that Bowles ever drafted in the secondary in New York that actually panned out. He had a bunch of whiffs, and he's a great player, and he's only due $3 million this year. If he's willing to play on this fourth year of his deal with a promise for money in the future, well, you know what? I don't know. I mean, all in is all in, Ira, because you know what? In a couple of years, they're going to be probably playing a rookie quarterback, and then they're going to have plenty of money and be rebuilding.
And if they go 5-11, Todd Bowles won't be here. How do you like them apples?
So, I like the apples. I get you. I just wanted to get the sage wisdom.
Gentlemen, they can't afford Devonta Freeman. They can't afford him. That's what Arian said. Can't afford him. You want him to add an all-pro safety who's going to demand $15 million in 2021, and you better pay him or you got a disgruntled employee on your hands? No, thank you. Pass.
All right, Sage. We got the sage wisdom on that.
I was not the person that said you trade David and Winfield for Adam. David's here for this year. I know that for a fact. It's next year that I'm uncertain about. And again, this is Lavonnie David's last year of his contract.
Diane Rossini says they're going 8-8, so forget about this year, right?
Yeah. Look, the whole thing is uncertain. The odds are Shaq Barrett doesn't have the same year, and he won't be back either. I mean, it's all a crapshoot, Ira. I just wanted to get your wisdom. I'm glad we're feisty here early in the podcast. Yeah. And of course, the podcast can be found at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Play, Stitcher, all sorts of platforms. Listen to the Sage. We appreciate that you do. Now, Ira, we finally got a peek.
Hold on. I'm not finished. I got one more sentence. We're talking about Jamal Adams, not Ed Reed. You may continue, Steve.
Ira, we finally got a look inside these special Tom Brady workouts, these hidden workouts that are going on, and comes from none other than the voice of the Buccaneers, Dare Ogunbowale. And he was on CBS Sports Radio, Ira, and he's got a friendship.
Are you trying to make me laugh, Steve? I mean, come on. What's going on?
I'll read you the quote. He says, the way he runs our workouts, it's like a practice. Instead of just telling us to run a dig route or something like that, he's telling us the full play call. He's doing his cadence as if it were in a game. He's doing adjustments, doing the hots and sights. With a guy like him, it's really easy to kind of be building chemistry and emulating that whole practice environment. Brady's got the play calls down, Ira.
What is this, a revelation? Where's Wolf Blitzer with the breaking news so I can tell him? Lee, what is this, the secret plans of King Tut's tomb that Tom Brady knows how to run a practice? I'll say it again. You boys are enveloped and engrossed in fluff. Stop with the nonsense. There's nobody rushing Brady. Nobody trying to put him on his ass. Nobody's blocking for him. And the man is running a little practice like he's on a cruise ship. I'm not excited, gentlemen. Can we wait till training camp? I'm good at it. But
here's why. This may be fluff, Ira. I'm not disagreeing with you, but hello, fans want information. Fans want access. Fans want knowledge. There's no practices. There has been no practices. There's been limited press conferences, Zoom conferences. The people demand something. So what are you going to do? Break down offensive? Yeah, come on. You know what? If this stuff, and by the way, it let these practices Brady's having leads with the sports newscasts on Sirius XM. I'm not talking about the football newscast. I'm talking about the sports newscast.
Oh boy!
People crave information, and when there's nothing going on, stuff that would be ignored is now news. And Steve and I, when we built this successful website, we didn't do it by not giving fans what they wanted daily.
Well, it's more a reflection of how little is going on in the country. Let's put it like that.
All right, Sage.
You want to read great import into Brady completing a 6-yard toss to Anthony O'Clair or something, I don't.
Fluff was last week's word, Ira. Let's turn your attention to a topic that I think will interest you in a different kind of way. Now, we've talked about running backs many times, and the Buccaneers, that seems to be their greatest deficiency at running back.
They don't say that. They don't say that,
and we've been down that road. But, Lee's written many posts the last few days, all again about the subpar running backs and interpretations of the Bucs running backs. And I have a question for you, Ira, and this is just a direct question here, and you can bring in knowledge of your other favorite team. Will that stand in Brady's way to win a Super Bowl with the Bucs if they roll with what they have now? And I ask you that because last year, Damian Williams led the Super Bowl champion Chiefs with 498 yards. LeSean McCoy, 465 yards. Now he can't find a job. And yes, both of those guys averaged 4.5 yards a carry. And Williams had a great Super Bowl, big game, 100-plus yards. But do you really need that running game? Does Brady really need it to win a Super Bowl this year? And I'll throw you a bone and say, yes, I get that the Chiefs just won a freaking Super Bowl and they drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
My answer is simple, Steve, but profound. Simple but profound. If Brady was in his prime, which he certainly is not, then I think they could get away with it. I think they could, because New England didn't have great running backs for most of Brady's 20 years. They had some guys that would get 1,000 yards, but not year after year.
LeGarrette Blount.
They didn't have Adrian Peterson or Elliott or anybody like that. Steve, he's not in his prime. He's not even close. He's good enough to get him into the playoffs with a surrounding cast if they have a decent running game, but I don't think a 43-year-old Tom Brady can overcome that. As savvy as he is, I think that's a hill too steep.
Steve kind of referenced it. There was a story on NFL.com that I linked to that asked this question: does Brady need a running game? And their conclusion was, well, history suggests he doesn't. He's got 6 rings. 3 came with 1,000-yard rushers, and 3 did not come with 1,000-yard rushers. Is that it? Yeah, and I referenced this in a story. That's, Brady in his 20s and 30s, not in his early 40s. So I tend to agree with you, Ira. And I'm going to read off something here real quick. I wrote about this about a week ago, and I didn't touch upon this in your last two pods, Ira. Here's how the Bucs' yards per carry ranked in the lost decade. 2019, fifth worst. 2018, second worst. 2017, tied for third worst. 2016, fourth worst. 2015, second best. 2014, tied for fifth worst. 2013, once again, tied for fifth worst. 2012, eighth best. 2011, tied for ninth best. 2010, seventh best. So in the last 7 years, only once has this team been out of the bottom 5 in yards per carry. In the last 7 years.
Good research there, Lee. Good research. And Steve, you can twist numbers any way you want, but you can't twist yards per carry. It's a big stat. It tells a tale. Ironically, Ronald Jones, you know, was a fairly healthy 4.2, I believe, but, you know, weighed down by Peyton Barber, some other guys. You throw Winston's rushes in there, add it all up. What was it, 3.7, Steve, last year?
Ira, yep. let me throw this this curveball at you, or the, I'll call it a hard slider. Is Ronald Jones better than Damian Williams?
He might be a better runner. I don't think he's a better back. Damian Williams is a little underrated. I think he got hurt for a lot of last year. He's a very good receiver out of the backfield, and they still went to get Edwards-Helaire. That's what they thought of that kid out of LSU. He's a very good postseason performer, Damian Williams. Very, very strong. You saw that he put the seal to the Super Bowl, and I believe he caught the go-ahead touchdown before he ran for the clinching touchdown. He hurt New England a year ago in the playoff game that the Chiefs lost. Damian Williams was outstanding, so he's not a bad player. You know what? I'm going to give Ronald Jones a little credit, gentlemen. He didn't run the ball poorly last year. He did not, and he finished strongly. I just don't think he's an all-around back, and I don't think he was drafted necessarily. You know, he's supposed to be a change of pace back, so I think they're still waiting for that primary back, and I'm not sure it's Ronald Jones.
I thought you were going to say they're waiting for the pace to change.
All right, Ira, listen, summer is here, and that means Big Storm beer. It tastes even better than it does all year round, which is hard to do. The Bromosa, B-R-O-M-O-S-A, the really cool orange can. It is a tangerine IPA that is just a super hot seller for Big Storm Beer. It's one of their new core beers. It is my favorite. It is just fantastic at all times. I've been drinking a lot more lately, Ira. I think it's made me a better person. And I got to tell you this, Sage, BigStormBrewery.com is where you can get a look at all the beers and use the Storm Tracker to find where to buy Big Storm near you. And, of course, they have tap rooms in Odessa and in Clearwater, the Clearwater location. That's where you will be all season. No movement for the Sage. You're going to have your own special Sage table. We got some banners coming there. You'll be watching games with fans. We'll get the schedule out. Fantastic menu. And you'll be throwing back your own Tropic Pressure. We'll get that Uber app on your phone. You can drink your favorite Tropic Pressure Florida Ale. BigStormBrewery.com. Sage?
Quickly.
Yes.
So anyway, I had the Americano at the Big Storm Cafe at Bill Curry, Florida. Outstanding coffee. Outstanding Americano.
I'm going to have it this week.
Go to Bill Curry. It's top shelf service, and you hang out at the cafe, and you can have some really good Americano and a good sandwich, and it'll make your day.
You mentioned the schedule with the Big Storm and the Clearwater location. I'm throwing a monkey wrench into this podcast, gentlemen. I'm getting a little concerned. I am getting a little concerned about keeping the schedule, and the opener is going to be September 10th and whatever, and the season's, you know, the Super Bowl is going to be the first week of February and at Ray J. And I don't know. Since our last podcast, the news hasn't been good, guys. It hasn't been good. I need you guys to perk me up. Perk me up a little, Steve.
Ira, you're falling victim to fluff. Fluff everywhere. You're yelling at me and Lee for fluff. Look, Ira, the virus isn't going away. It's not going to go away. There's going to be infections. There'll be players. Just like you would have said a month ago, players are going to get the virus. Players are going to miss time, whatever. They're going to play the games because there's billions of dollars at stake, literally, and other businesses aren't shut down. The players aren't going to ask out of playing. And if there are no fans, there are no fans, Ira. But to think they're not going to play games, I'm not saying I agree with it or disagree with it, but to think they're not going to play games and just shut the season down for a virus that'll probably be there in 2021, I just think it's silliness, absolute silliness.
Yeah, I think maybe my point was more geared towards fans in the stands, but you're right. Lee, there's too much money, there's too much TV money to turn away from the season. Whether you're going to have fans or not is another issue, but you got to think the season's going to be played.
I'll recite what I wrote last week on JoeBucksFan.com. I can't remember the exact quote, but I will paraphrase what virus czar Dr. Anthony Fauci said when he testified before Congress this spring. They were asking him, like, you know, we have these elongated shutdowns, it's going to absolutely destroy the economy that we may never recover. You know, what can you say about that? His response was, I'm paraphrasing, I'm a doctor, not an economist. And that's why exactly you'll have an NFL season.
All right, let me ask you this question, okay? Do you have to be a, in order to be a legendary football coach, and I'm not joking around here, in order to be a great NFL coach, do you have to be within 6 feet of a player? Ever?
Well, Bo Parcells had to, because otherwise how are you going to intimidate him and chew Phil Simms' ass out like he did? But I understand your point, Steve.
You get a bullhorn, and you tell the guy to stand still, and you scream in his ear with the bullhorn.
I think
we're going to see, yeah, exactly, like Greg Schiano. I think we're going to see some innovation, Ira. I wouldn't be surprised to see the coaches on a platform on the sidelines.
Like a Bear Bryant tower?
Exactly. Like you might see Arians and Leftwich on a tower, you know, getting a different kind of look at the game and not being exposed to players coming up to them. And I think you're going to see a lot of different things.
Lee, I would be surprised. We're not joking around when we come to Arians. I mean, he's in a high-risk category. I mean, so am I because of my age, because I'm 97. Yeah, you know, but I don't have diabetes or anything, thank God. But, you know, Arians has had heart issues, his age. He's got to watch himself. He's got to be very careful,
Yeah, I mean, he's a cancer survivor, and obviously we don't know his medical history, but to think there's not going to be a season because the – you know, of spikes in the virus we've heard. And I don't know. I just think it's all a lot of fluff until they start saying that guys are going to be able to get this 2, 3, 4 times in a season. That might be a game changer if they think a player can be infected and get it again. But Steve,
it'll be a season like no other.
Absolutely. No, yeah. I think the whole notion of fans is pretty much dead at this point. And I think the media is going to be really restricted if they're allowed in at all. Lee, I don't know what you're thinking right now.
I really don't know what to think, but I'm leaning toward the guess, and this is a guess, and this really rankles Ira when I mention this. I think we've seen the last of the Bucks locker room at One Buck Palace. And I'm not talking about this year. I'm talking about permanently.
Could be, and I got a feeling that the media workroom may not be open, gentlemen. That might be used for
that might be a good
function.
Yeah.
I think eventually, if they have an instant test like they do for so many other things, you might get in the locker room only if you've passed an instant test, you know, for the virus kind of thing. But Ira, I thought you might have gotten some humor out of this. I don't know. Maybe I'm a twisted sort, but Bruce Arians did a PSA for Hillsborough County, and he's telling everyone to wear a mask, except. He's in the PSA, and he's not wearing a mask, but he's telling everybody to wear a mask, and he's the head coach of a sport that'll feature a bunch of guys snorting all over each other in a matter of weeks, and they won't be wearing masks. Now, I don't know. Is that silly to you?
Well, I mean, the fact he wasn't wearing a mask when he did the announcement doesn't bother me, because he could have been in a secluded room all by himself, and he put his mask down. You know, when you go in a restaurant, you don't keep your mask on, Steve. Even though you've been known to bore a hole through the middle of your mask and sip your milkshake through it. But, that doesn't bother me about Arians. As far as being a spokesperson, well, Lee, it's all about the follow-up. Look, he's a figure of authority. I mean, he is, and we don't have a lot of them in Tampa Bay. We just don't, unless you want to count Paul Tash, gentlemen. So we're not going to go there. Paul Tash should be wearing a mask for Paul Tesh could be wearing a mask for another reason.
For robbing people?
All right, Iroh, a guy that you used to talk about nonstop was on radio last week, and he was fantastic. I recommend anybody to go back to the Sirius XM NFL radio archives and listen to Dante Scarnecchia, Iroh.
Oh, I thought it was Daquan Bowers. I'm sorry, Steve. I thought it was Daquan Bowers.
This guy was fantastic, and I thought it was just kind of funny that he had so much to say about offensive line play. It was awesome. But one thing he'd said, Ira, was that as far as him being able to teach O-line on Zoom, as an older guy, he felt he just wouldn't be able to do it and coach very well in these off-season meetings. But he said he sat in. He was invited as a special guest, I believe it was Penn State, invited him to sit in on Zoom in an offensive line meeting. And he thought the teaching was innovative and liked what they were doing. And it made me think about, you know what? Here are the college programs working with guys, and there's probably a lot of innovation going on. And I'll come back to it. I know it's annoying, but I still think the Arians, the Leftwich attitude is like, we're not going to get anything done on this computer stuff. Let's wait till we get in the building. I don't know. I just feel like the Bucks aren't on the cutting edge.
This cutting edge thing is really, it's really a pebble in your shoe, Steve. There's no question about it. You come back to it every podcast. It's bothering you probably because you're not bad when it comes to new techniques and computer stuff, and it's bothering you. You think the Bucks are falling behind? I'm not sounding the alarm bells, Steve, but it's interesting that Scarnecchia could be taught a few new techniques and a couple of innovations after, you know, this guy. And you're right. I talk about him a lot for a couple of reasons. One, I don't think he's had the most talented guys. I mean, Logan Mankins was very good, but he was a guard. But as far as the tackles, you know, I don't see Walter Jones on the New England Patriots in the last 20 years. In fact, when they leave the Patriots, they usually flounder, just like a lot of the assistant coaches flounder. So do these offensive linemen. I mean, who's Nate Solder? Who is he? He's nobody. He goes to New England, and he's killing people. So this guy is on a level with Monty Kiffin, in my mind, in terms of assistance that should have consideration for a Boston Canton. He's that good. One of the things, Steve, you didn't mention this. I know you're into the cutting edge stuff, but Lee, you read that story, and I believe one of the points that Scarnecchia was making strongly on Sirius was you can't instill physicality into an offensive lineman if it's not there. You can't will it. And I think that's one of the reasons maybe that Kappa has a chance to be a pretty good player. Worfs is known for his physicality, and I love that attitude. You know, guys, you might disagree, but I don't think that word's ever been used with Donovan Smith, and it's a little concerning at this point.
You either have or you don't. I agree with that. You know, Light likes to brag when he gets the quote-unquote nasty guys out there, but it never does seem to rub off on certain people. Now, I know Donovan gets a little sensitive when people talk about him, and I've been a defender of Donovan's. I know he got mad at Joe Buck's fan about something a couple of years ago. Immediately after a game, someone texted him like, "Hey, did you see this on Twitter? The dude was at his locker. He hadn't taken a shower yet," and he starts screaming. So, but I've been a defender, and I'm not ashamed of it. I don't think he's the worst left tackle in the history of mankind to play the game like some Bucks fans do. He was branded that before he even was drafted. There were those nitwits who eat calculators for a living, had him branded as this horrible guy. He ought to be a guard, and he was branded before he even got. And that's a charged word, but I do mean that he was branded by these idiots, the PFF tribe, as being horrible before he was even drafted. And as a result, you know, Bucks fans. Oh, those damn coaches, they don't know what they're talking about. These imbeciles in Ireland that sit in a dorm room, they know more about football. It drives me wild.
His durability puts him in kind of in the middle of the pack. I think he's okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's a good player, and it's probably up to him which direction he goes. He's still young enough. The nuance, though, Ira, with Scarnecchia was he was saying, and I had to rewind it a couple of times, and he admitted that it's a very fine nuance, and he also made it pretty clear that he scouts all the O-linemen for the Patriots, and he was sort of the guy making the picks. But he basically said that when he chooses an offensive lineman, he likes guys who love to play physical, but they don't have to necessarily be mentally tough. That he said, no problem, we'll make them mentally tough. But as long as they like to use their bodies and they're strong and they have a level of physicality that they just love, then he's good with that. So it made me think of Donovan Smith in the sense of he's kind of not mentally tough because he'll take some plays off, and the Patriots probably would have loved him because they wouldn't have tolerated it. But I thought even more about Tristan Wirfs, who is just such a natural physical guy, just loves everything about being physical. The guy was an all-state wrestler and just loves to throw his body around, but maybe he's not the toughest guy mentally, because that was sort of his only knock coming out of college, that maybe he's too nice. I don't know, but yet Jason Light has often chosen to pick the nasty guy mentality, where Scarnecchia was kind of saying, well, we'll make a guy mentally tough, and he's an ex-Marine.
You know, Steve, when you were mentioning somebody that throws their body around all over the joint, and here's another guy that I've talked about so many times in the last couple of years on this podcast, and I think it's panned out. I think I've been validated. And no knock on the Bucks. I'm not saying that Jason Light did anything wrong. Boy, if they would have got Quentin Nelson, that's a guy that he puts his body in harm's way.
Let it go, Ira.
He blocks two guys every snap. I got to let it go, Lee. I got to let it go.
Certain fans just want to choke me for saying it. You either play for the draft or you play for the playoffs. If you're not playing for the playoffs, you play for the draft, which means you lose. And as much as I enjoyed it, and I still enjoy it, but that was a costly, 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 awesome play. When Jameis hit Chris Godwin that bomb to beat New Orleans, that was an awesome play. It won a game, and it cost the Bucks maybe a Hall of Famer.
And if you're playing for the Super Bowl, Ira, you get Jamal Adams in here, and you don't look back. All right, let's go to Bill Curry Ford presents all of your work here, Ira. Can't thank them enough for all of their support. Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, BillCurryFord.com. And, of course, we love our friends at Big Storm Beer and Florida's Elite Restoration. We've got questions for you, Ira. A couple of questions came in from the good folks out there. Kenny Barrett, @Bucks_Barrett. He writes, Sage, I hope you are safe. That's very nice, Ira. Man cares about you.
Nice.
With the Bucks, he writes, who do you think has the best chance to be on the roster this season, Jamal Adams or the pass rusher, Marcus Golden, who's still out there? He loves Adams, but he wants pass rush depth.
I don't think his priorities are misplaced. I'm ripping a page out of the DeKemper book. You can't have enough pass rushers. And, you know, here's a point that I don't think is made often enough, is the Bucks are not particularly young up front. Other than Vita Vea, you know, Nassib was on the young side. He's gone. Golston's been around forever. JPP's 30, 31. Sue is not 27 anymore. You know, in a year or two, the Bucks are going to be bereft up front. They didn't address it particularly well in the draft. You know, I don't think this fifth or sixth round defensive tackle is going to be a blockbuster. So whether it's Marcus Golden or whatever, I think they need a little influx of youth up front. Now, you know how I feel about Vita Vea. I think he's going to be a Pro Bowler sooner rather than later. It could even happen in 2020. I think he's that good, that disruptive, if he stays healthy. But other than that, they're a little old in the tooth up there, Lee. And, you know, when you hit 31, 32, you can lose it in a hurry up there.
Oh, I don't disagree, Ira. I was talking about this with Sean Sullivan recently. You know, for whatever reason, the Bucks don't like drafting defensive ends, even though it's the most important position on defense. So, it's a concern about the age of the defensive line. Bucks draft more kickers than defensive end. What can I say?
You know, Steve, as the years go by and the rules keep flowing to hurt pass defenses and to help quarterbacks and receivers, and you can't touch these guys and can't touch the quarterback, you can't touch the receiver past 5 yards. Cornerback's an impossible position. I mean, it's almost impossible. I don't know how they do it. They're turned around half the time. You don't know whether to look at the quarterback or look at the receiver. And it's my way of saying, you know, the only way to play pass defense in 2020 is to put the quarterback on his ass or get him off his spot or put him under duress. I mean, that's the only way, Steve. Otherwise, you're going to get sliced up.
How many years have I been saying that?
You have been, Lee. You have them.
That's why your Chiefs should have got to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. They had a lousy defense, but they could do one thing. Put the quarterback on the right hand.
As far as Brady's concerned, you know, he's got a fantastic playoff record, 30-11 or something. But I think a lot of the times he's lost playoff games, the common denominator, and I think of the Ravens in particular. They put a furious pass rush on him. Denver, I think, did it once. Furious. And that's the way you get to an elite quarterback. you get them rattled. And anybody can be rattled. Anybody.
Absolutely. Ira, before we get to the next question, just wanted to throw one little stat at you, and then I'll roll right into the question, since I know you love these nuggets. Only one season in the past 10 years, one season, has Tom Brady averaged 35 pass attempts or less per game. Only once. So he's going to throw the ball around the park, Ira, and they got to protect him. They got to protect him, and he didn't come here to hand the ball off. So, Ira, let's roll to Javier in Panama, your good buddy, who has a couple of wise guy questions, but one of them is Tom Brady, and you're the sage, Ira. You have the perspective of the way you like to tell fans the way they should think about these things. Javier asks, is Tom Brady already a top five Buccaneers quarterback of all time? And he also wants to know, will you go to the stadium for home games this year? I have to add a little caveat to that, Ira. Will you go to home games this year if the Bucs are only serving a bag lunch and you can't go in the locker room?
If the Bucs will have me, I certainly plan to be at the stadium for home games. I mean, I want to see what I want to look at through my binoculars rather than what Jack Buck, Joe Buck, and Aikman. And by the way, we're gonna get the A teams, the number one teams. Did you hear that, Dick Stockton? Your days of Bananas Foster are over, Mr. Stockton. And I love Dick Stockton. He used to do Sixers Celtic games in 1981. That's how long he's been around.
All right, so, you used to babysit the guy.
I think he was married to Leslie Visser.
Yeah, he was married to her, and he also did the 75 World Series for NBC with Kurt Gowdy and Tony Kubek.
Very nicely, but I will be at Buck games if I'm allowed to be. This Tom Brady as the top five Buck quarter, I mean, that's a loaded question, guys. He hasn't thrown his first pass as a Buccaneer. I'll say this, once he throws his very first pass as a Buccaneer, he's number one in Buck history. One pass.
Here you go, Ira. Here's another international question. He hails from Israel. And I hope I'm pronouncing his first name right. Yov Cohen from Israel.
Okay.
I'm going to condense his first question. I think he's rambling here, but I sort of understand it. He's asking, how is Brady supposed to change the culture in the Bucs when he's just one guy and the culture is losing with the Bucs? And he kind of thinks culture is overrated. That's part one of his Brady question. Part two is, will interceptions go up and sacks because Brady's immobile and the offensive line stinks?
Oh, boy.
And I condensed that as well. The full question was, everybody says interceptions will go down with Tampa Bay. But between the offensive line and Brady's immobility in Bruce Arians' system, how much will the sack and throwaway numbers go up?
Well, the sack numbers aren't going to go up. They're not.
You don't think so?
No, he's gonna get rid of the ball. He's got a sixth sense. Now, he doesn't like to get hit, and that's part of it. But he's never been sacked 45 times in his life, I dare say. I would dare say, without looking at the stats, and Winston did last year. But like Steve says, he's not coming here to hand the ball off. So, you know, he's gonna throw 550 passes, 600 passes. That's what's gonna happen. But he's not going to take sacks. But the throwaways will go up. Yes, throwaways will go up. Interceptions will come down. No question about it. What was his very first question, Lee?
Your favorite subject, culture. How's one guy going to change it?
His premise is wrong. He's not just one guy. He's Tom Brady. He's not just one guy. Now, this ain't Mike Glennon riding into town over here, gentlemen.
And let me expand on that, Ira. If the culture sucks, this is the key. If the culture really does suck, then he'll be able to change it. If it's as good as Arians thinks it is, I don't think Brady's going to have the same impact that people think. So it's sort of like a neat little chicken and egg situation. I want to throw this at Ira, and then we'll get the hell out of here. In that great interview with Dante Scarnecchia, he said Bill Polian finally had a chance to say, Dante, tell me how the hell did you figure out how to block Robert Mathis and Dwight Freeney.
Yeah.
And he said, I just told Brady, Tom, you better throw the ball fast. And Brady did. He said Brady would just simply do a quick check, see if Freeney won off the ball or looked like he was going to win. And then he would change his read instantly and go from there. And he basically said it was all Brady against one of the legendary pass duos in history. So that's what we're looking at here, hopefully.
listen to that answer, Steve. Break it down. That is a phenomenal answer, and it kind of goes to the heart of why Bruce Arians wanted Tom Brady behind door number two. I mean, while the ball's being snapped to Brady, he's watching his left tackle while he's trying to scan the field. He's making an instant judgment whether his guy got his ass beat by Dwight Freeney, which a lot of times he did, because Dwight Freeney's a borderline Hall of Famer, maybe not even borderline. I mean, he was a fabulous pass rusher. He had all kinds of moves. He had a tremendous spin move. I believe he was the right defensive end. So it was Brady's blind side. And, of course, he's checking on, on Mr. Freeney right off the bat. And to go through his progressions, and that's really why Tom Brady's here, besides this culture warrior thing that Lee doesn't want to talk about too much. The speed that he analyzes the play as it's developing. I mean, I'm not knocking Jameis Winston to say that he's not in Tom Brady's league, because who the heck is? Who's in Tom Brady's league and going through progressions, in a scientific manner and then making the right decision? So that is a fantastic answer by Scarnecchia. And to throw in keeping his left eye on the Dwight Freeney situation, that's just the cherry on top, Steve.
Here's one for you, Ira. Last question that I've got, and it's from a reader. This guy asks, you guys are always talking about Devonta Freeman. What about Lamar Miller or Isaiah Crowell as a backup running back?
You know, there are other guys. I mean, there's a guy named Theo Reddick. Not a particularly good runner from the Lions, but he's out there. But he's an outstanding receiver. There are options. Devonta Freeman is not the guy that the Bucs have to wrap up all their hopes. And, of course, to listen to Bruce Arians, guys, not Arians, but maybe Light, they don't need him. Hey, we're good. We don't need anybody in our backfield. But you know what? If you're really being honest with yourself, that's not a top-shelf backfield. It's just not. I mean, based on, body of work. You know, you got a couple of rookies. You got Dare and you got Ronald Jones. I mean,
I wish the Bucks, they always say, left which we had no deficiencies. They're so high on these running backs. I don't know, maybe I'm overstating that. I wish, rather than just give us empty answers, I wish someone would either take some game tape or go to a board and explain to fans why they think these running backs are good. I don't see it. You don't see it. Fans don't see it. Nobody sees it. Stats don't show it. So, to me, I'm sorry, it's a big con job. Unless I wish they would go bring out some game tape, and Light did this one time on Buccaneers.com, and I complimented the guys that did it. I said, you guys need to do this more often. I think it was, what's her name? You know who she is. Tall
Casey,
brunette.
Casey Phillips.
Phillips had Light, and he could tell he was uncomfortable doing it. But she had him do some game tape and explain something. It was fantastic. And I told her, you need to do that more often. And I guess Light doesn't want to. I guess. I don't know. But I wish somebody with the Bucs, that's Arians or Leftwich or the running back coach or Light, get some game tape out or one board and start diagramming, explaining to fans why they think these guys are so good when no one else believes it. There's a major disconnect when everybody at one Buck, these guys are good, these guys are good, these guys are good. Come out and explain to us, unless you're trying to pull the wool over people's eyes.
I think the answer came. The answer came in the draft. They drafted two running backs, and they're still talking about Devonta Freeman internally. So,
Steve, let me throw this out about the Buck backfield. I don't think this is far fetched, and I don't think either of you guys think that either. Would you be surprised 3 weeks into training camp that Tom Brady has a discussion with Bruce Arians and Light and the pro personnel, director?
No.
And says, we got to get another back in here. That's not far-fetched.
I think it's far-fetched, Ira, because I think Brady's going to be so intoxicated by all these weapons to throw to, and then he's coming here to throw the football. And you know what? If they're innovative, they'll spend half of training camp sticking O.J. Howard in the backfield as a receiver coming out of the backfield, and they'll find a way to use all these guys. Look at all these guys they have to play with, Ira. I mean, I don't know. I don't think Brady's going to go there that soon. You know, he knows you got to see what the rookie looks like. And I don't know, Ira. It's fascinating to me. And I'm just still PO'd at the guy who brought up Lamar Miller and Isaiah Crowell. Come on. These guys have been out of football. They didn't play football last year. Don't ask the sage about guys sitting on the street last year. Come on now.
Well, who's going to have more clout? Tom Brady at One Buck Place or me at Joe Buck's fan? That's the question of the day, gentlemen.
You have clout, Ira, but you're not Tom Brady.
All right, Ira, you are the sage of Tampa Bay sports. Another thrilling podcast delivered by the sage, presented by Bill Curry Ford. And Ira, we got some goodies. I still got goodies in the bag of tricks here for next podcast. Of course, we have another one rolling this week. Sage, send us out of here with your 2 cents that are probably worth about 1.5.
All right. I've got the perfect send off. And Lee, I hope you're sitting down when you hear this. But next week, we got another handyman coming over. I'm out.